Thank you. We welcome you today to the live stream of our service, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, Jacksonville, North Carolina. We would never have thought that we would have to do such things as we're having to do now, social distancing, wearing masks, live streaming our services and avoiding contact and such as that. All I know to say is that I know that it is the Lord, and let him do what seems good in his sight. Today, as we come into this service and come to this message, we ask all the Lord's people to join with us in prayer, to pray for these of our number that are sick, have the COVID-19, other sicknesses, trials and troubles of life. We pray for the Lord's people wherever they are. We lift up those who have lost a loved one in the past week. We pray for them that they might be comforted, that they might be able to rest in the bosom of Christ until these sorrows and these troubles be passed for all of us. We know that we are a needy people, and none so much as me, especially this morning, in my own weakness. Father, we ask this morning that you would help us. We know we deserve it not, but we ask it for Christ's sake and for his glory and honor, that you might strengthen us, that you might help us, that you might be gracious to us and merciful, that we might know your healing hand upon us in all things. We thank you for being our Savior. We thank you that there is none like you. We thank you that you have been merciful to look down upon your people in their lowest state and raise them up out of the dunghill and set them among princes of your grace. We ask that in this hour you would help those that we've mentioned and many, many more. We pray that you might do that which gets glory to your name. And we pray that we might, for these times, be able to fix our minds upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and his salvation, that we might be encouraged of heart, that all these things are working together for good to those of us who by your grace love you and are the called according to your purpose. We pray in this hour that we might be enabled to speak right things about you, that in some way your Spirit will take your word and bring comfort to the hearts of your people. Scattered as they are around this world, but yet to be gathered together as one in Christ and presented faultless before the throne of glory. Forgive us, Lord, of our failures, our sins so great, so many, and help us that we might in this day, under these circumstances, bear a good testimony, that we might, Lord, all die in the faith as it pleases you and you have ordained. We pray that you'd help us and bless us in this hour. Enable us to worship you in spirit and in truth, and have no confidence in the flesh, rejoicing only in Christ Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. If you will turn in your Bibles one more time in this series to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. This is the 10th message, if you would call it that, that I've tried to prepare concerning gospel pictures from Mount Moriah. And of course, Mount Moriah records here in Genesis 22, it records what took place on Mount Moriah between Abraham and Isaac and God. And while this will be likely the last one in these series, Isaac has pictured Christ and together with his people as having died in the type and the figure here, in being the substitute for his people, and having been raised in the figure and the type from that death. But there is one thing more. And I believe that it's been pictured for us by the Holy Spirit by a striking absence. A striking absence. Something that shows the work of Christ finished. Something that shows God satisfied and pleased. Something that shows His justice honored. And that is, where is Isaac after this? If you'll look down in verse 19 of Genesis 22, it says, "So Abraham returned unto his young men." Remember, he had left those young men at the base of that mount. "So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up together and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." It says nothing about Isaac. Isaac is not said to have come down. And I believe the reason that the Holy Spirit has given it to us in this way is to show the ascension of Christ from this earth after His death, so that we are called upon to look at Christ as neither dead, as neither living on this earth, as not being laying there in a manger or on a cross or in a tomb, but He is the ascended Lord of His people. And therefore, we are to look at that ascension, to be aware of that ascended glory, that we might show and see what it means to His redeemed people who are still on this earth. Where is Christ now? I know this, especially in having looked at it a lot this week. The scriptures have a lot to say about this. And what they say is that Christ ascended back into heaven to a place and position of even greater glory. Greater glory. Turn over with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and look down at verse 22. After the resurrection of Christ, Peter said, "Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God," from the Mount Calvary, from death. "He has gone up into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." The Lord is ascended back into glory. And it says that angels and authorities, meaning devils or whatever authority there is, and powers being made subject to him. That is, as the man Christ Jesus, he ascended and was enthroned in heavenly glory. And what a joy that is to his believing people. He is not only the resurrected and living God-man, but he is over all things the one that reigns. That's what the Spirit of God tells the people of God. That's what he tells the preachers of God to say to the people of God. That is, that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Say that to Zion. Remind them that their ascended Lord reigns and is seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now the amazing thing is, in Scripture, so many times it reminds us of that. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. It reminds us of that. And it also tells us the reason why he assumed such a high and lofty place in his ascension. Hebrews chapter 1. Speaking of Christ in verse 3, he says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins." He had by himself, without anyone's help, especially not with our help, but when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He sat down in that place of acceptance, in that place of honor, in that place of accomplishment and success when he had by himself purged or washed away or cleansed all our sins. In John chapter 20, we read Jesus talking to a woman, saying, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." There is a relationship here spoken of in this glorious ascension. Christ saying, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And they all ascend into glory with him representatively and are said to be seated with him in the heavenlies. He is alive and enthroned to assure the application of his salvation to those he died for. You know, sometimes a person will make a will, set forth their desires and their gifts and their heirs. But somebody can come along and overcome that will and overthrow that will, but that will never happen to Christ, who is said to be the mediator of the New Testament, of his covenant grace and blessings, of all those things that he has freely given us. He will assure that every person for whom he died, every person that he died so as to redeem them, they will all be redeemed. They will all possess what he gives them. And not only that, but he is enthroned and ruling over all people, all things, all devils, all powers, in sovereign power and glory. And that surely should ease our fears and apprehensions in our present hour. Because it doesn't matter who's in power, whoever's in power, it's only delegated power, delegated to them by God for a while. What matters is who's on the throne of glory, and that is the ascended Christ. And he shall always work all things. He is right now working all things after the counsel of his own will. And furthermore, he says this, that he is enthroned and ever living so as to make intercession for us on the basis of his work and blood. Remember in the Revelation when John had the glorious vision into heaven, and it says that he saw a lamb as newly slain. And that's simply Christ, who in his blood shedding and his salvation accomplishing is living so as to be able to make intercession for us on that basis. Turn over to 1 Peter again. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter says here of Christ in verse 8, whom having not seen, we can't see him with the naked eye, with the natural eye. But we're called to gaze upon him with the eye of God-given faith as he describes him, as he sets him forth in the Word as the ascended Lord, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did testify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The glory that should follow. In other words, when Christ prayed to the Father and spoke of the glory that he had with him before the world began, he was speaking of that glory that was his and would be his fully and finally as the mediator between God and men, as the Savior and Redeemer of his people, that he would have glory, and that glory would follow upon his sufferings here on the earth. His glory in our salvation. His glory because of his success in finishing it. The mercy seat is what the throne was there in the Holy of Holies. If you remember, there was no chair provided for the priest. But that's not to say there was not a seat. And that was the mercy seat. That was the throne of God. That's where the blood was sprinkled by the high priest once a year. And it signified Christ. Christ took the throne of mediatorial glory when he died, rose again, and ascended back into heaven. When you turn to Hebrews chapter 4, the apostle says this, seeing then, in other words, it's a known fact to his people. It's the truth of God's word. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Ours is not a dead priest. Ours is not a sinful priest like we. Ours is that great high priest who is one forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's the priest that ever lives to make intercession for us. I want to read to you some verses, and hopefully they will speak to your heart like they have to mine in the remembrance of this great ascension of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1, the apostle says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of God, at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. That priest cares for his people. That priest is aware of what goes on in their lives every second. That priest knows the situation in their sins. That priest ever lives, and he is at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. The apostle again in Hebrews 10. But this man, that ought to really stir our hearts to think that one who was God in flesh and who was merciful to us and touched by the feeling of our infirmities. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. I don't know what people do who try to do away with the triunity of God. God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know what they do with such verses as that. And then again in Hebrews, where the writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before him, the joy of saving his people, the joy of glorifying the Father, the glory of carrying out the purpose and will of God. Then we read this in Mark's Gospel. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. He ascended back into glory. Psalm 24 tells the gates of heaven to open up. Who can go in? The King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 20, David is said in this way to speak. David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Now I want to read that to you out of Psalm 110, along with what goes with it. Psalm 110 and verse 1. Christ is saying that David's son, the one who's described as David's son, is David's Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. He's sitting there, the ascended Lord, David's Lord. And he's there till the enemies of God, are all conquered and made his footstool. And while that's going on, it says, and the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. And while all of that's taking place, the Lord shall send the rod of his strength, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He'll send that in the midst of his enemies. And what will happen? Thy people, not his enemies, those who at times have acted as his enemies, But they've never been his enemies. They've always been his people. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. In other words, God's elect in the midst of all this world, in the midst of all this God conquering his enemies and defeating them, he'll save his people and call them out by the gospel, and they will be willing in the day of his power. In Acts chapter 2, we read this. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being at the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy footstool, thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made thee that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Whenever Stephen was being stoned for the testimony of the gospel, he bore this testimony in his death. He said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. That's where Christ is. Like I said, he's not in a manger. He's not even on the cross. He's surely not in a tomb. He's on the throne of glory. And Paul writes this in Romans 8, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. As I get older and older as a believer, as I get weaker and more frail, as the times become more uncertain, as I see and reflect upon my own sinfulness, my inability to stop sinning, as I feel the weight of this wretched man that Paul calls it, I'm so thankful that a perfect one, that God in flesh, makes intercession for me. Paul saying to the Ephesians, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. If the head of the church is in heaven, if the head of the church is okay, then you can believe that the church, the body, is the same. So in all these things, Paul reminds us that we ought not to think upon this world and its pleasures or its recognition or its things of the flesh. He says, since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. It is a delight to think, and by the eye of faith view our living Lord ascended, seated on the right hand of God, on the majesty on high. And it's a joy and a delight to think about this, what he says to us. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Oh, there are people who so foolishly make striving, make good works, make perseverance, make their efforts as being this overcoming. But that's not the case at all. Because when he speaks of them, of his people, they didn't overcome in their strength or by their works. And they overcame him, that is the devil, the world. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Christ crucified. That's how they overcame. The Lamb is on the throne, and he has already defeated the accuser of the brethren. He has already defeated the adversary of our souls. We've already overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of our testimony is just exactly that. Christ crucified. His blood. His righteousness imputed to his people. That's our salvation. That's our hope. That's why he ascended back into glory. That we might be assured that he, as Jesus, saved his people from their sins. it says nothing about Isaac coming down off that mount. I can only think that the Spirit of God meant to show us one more picture, and that of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. He entered into His glory, having suffered what He came to suffer. Suffered the just for the unjust, to bring them to God. May God give us an eye to behold Him this morning. Gaze up into heaven, not with the natural eye. Not to see a man sitting there, but just to know why He's there. And that He ever lives to make intercession for us. Father, we thank You this morning for Your precious Son. We thank You for the fact that He is the ascended Lord, watching down upon us, interceding for us, ruling the world, seeing things in wisdom as we cannot, knowing the answer to every question, knowing the reason for everything that takes place. Grant that we might rest in Him as we sojourn on this earth and know peace in the matter of our sins. And hope and what goes on in this earth. We thank You and we pray in Christ's name.